Second night of Passover, one block from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's home. As many as 300 people were arrested. Then, months ago, a State Department panel urged the Biden administration to disqualify multiple Israeli military and police units from receiving U.S. aid over serious human rights abuses. But Secretary of State Blinken has still not taken action. We'll speak with the ProPublica reporter who broke the story. Then, as we broadcast, climate activists gather at the global headquarters of Citigroup here in Manhattan to demand the bank stop financing coal, oil, and gas companies.
We are calling for Citibank to commit to end funding and financing services for new and expanding liquefied methane gas projects and their parent companies, including all projects that have already been built and those that have not been built.
We'll speak with environmentalist Rachetto Zan of Sulphur, Louisiana. And high-level migration talks between the U.S. and Cuba are held in Washington. We'll talk with Cuba's deputy foreign minister.
The aim of the United States policy since 1960, life as difficult and as unbearable as possible for the people of Cuba, with the ambition that that would lead to the overthrow of the government. That is the impact for the people of Cuba.
All that and more. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The U.S. Senate has approved a $95 billion foreign and military aid package to help Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The bill also included a provision that could lead to a ban on TikTok. This is Senate Majority Leader Chuck.
Mr. President, today the Senate sends a unified message to the entire world. America will always defend democracy in its need. We tell our allies, we will stand with you. We tell our adversaries, don't mess with us. We tell the world, we will do everything to defend democracy and our way of life.
The final vote in the Senate was 79 to 18. Senators voting no included 15 Republicans, as well as Democratic Senators Jeff Merkley and Peter Welch, and Independent Senator Bernie Sanders.
We are now in the absurd situation where Israel is using U.S. military presence to block the delivery of U.S. humanitarian aid to Palestinians. If that is not crazy, I don't know what is, but it's also a clear violation of U.S. law. Given that reality, we should not today even be having this debate. It is illegal to continue current military aid to Israel, let alone send another $9 billion with no strings attached.
The Senate approved sending more money to Israel on the same day. United Nations called for an independent probe into the discovery of over 300 bodies in a mass grave at the Nasser Medical Complex following Israel's siege on the hospital. Ravina Shamdasani is a spokesperson for the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights.
We are horrified also by the destruction of Al-Nasser Medical Complex and Al-Shifa Medical Complex and the reports of the discussed graves in and around facilities. And we call for independent, effective, transparent investigations into the deaths. Given the prevailing climate of impunity, this should include international investigators. Hospitals are entitled to very special protection under international humanitarian law. And let's be clear, the intentional killing of civilians detained who are hors de combat, the war crime.
On Tuesday, U.S. State Department spokesperson Vedant Patel refused to support the U.N. call for a probe into the mass graves in Gaza. Patel was questioned by journalist Saida.
More than 300 bodies have been found. The United Nations is asking or calling for an independent investigation. Would you support such an independent investigation?
Right now, Saeed, we are asking for more information.
Right.
That is squarely where we're leaving the conversation.
Right.
I don't have any details to match, confirm, or offer as it relates to that. We're aware of those reports, and we have asked the government of Israel for additional clarity and information, and that's where I'm at.
In Brooklyn, New York, arrested as many as 300 Jewish activists who took part in a massive outdoor Passover Seder near the home of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Protesters were calling for the U.S. to stop funding Israel. This is Simone Zimmerman for Peace.
What does it mean to celebrate a holiday about liberation in a moment in which Palestinian lives and freedom are under their most grave assault since the Nakba of 1948?
Simone Zimmerman was addressing a Seder in the streets. This comes as campus protests continue to spread. At the University of Minnesota, police arrested 9 students who refused to take down a pro-Palestinian encampment. In California, the campus of Cal Poly Humboldt was shut down after students occupied a building. In Massachusetts, officials at Harvard University have closed Harvard Yard ahead of possible protests. Harvard has also suspended the student group Palestine Solidarity Committee. Meanwhile, here in New York, NYU has put up a plywood wall around Gould Plaza, where police arrested students on Monday. And students at Columbia University have reportedly been given a deadline to shut down their Gaza Solidarity encampment by this morning. Barnard College student Sofa Eskenazi spoke on Tuesday.
I cannot and could not stand to be complicit in our university's ongoing support for Israel's genocidal campaign. There are no universities left in Gaza. So we chose to reclaim our university for the people of Palestine.
At Donald Trump's criminal trial in Lower Manhattan, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, had told jurors that he helped Trump's 2016 campaign by killing stories about Trump's extramarital affairs while running fake stories about Trump's opponents. Pecker testified he began helping Trump after a meeting at Trump Tower in 2015 where the future president asked him to, quote, help the campaign, unquote, to describe the paper's so-called catch-and-kill policy that involved buying, then burying negative articles about Trump. Pecker said, quote, I said I would be your eyes and ears, unquote. Pecker also admitted the National Enquirer made up a story attacking Trump's rival Ted Cruz by falsely linking his Cuban-born father to Lee Harvey Oswald and the Kennedy assassination. Meanwhile, the judge presiding over Trump's trial, Juan Merchan, is expected to rule soon on whether to hold Trump in contempt of court for attacking witnesses and jurors. On Tuesday, the judge lashed Trump's lawyer, saying, quote, you're losing all credibility with the court. In other legal news, the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today on Idaho's near-total abortion ban. The Biden administration sued Idaho, saying the violates EMTALA, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, which the Justice Department says protects the rights of pregnant people to get the emergency medical care they need. In Pennsylvania, Democratic Congressmember Summer Lee has defeated Bhavini Patel. Lee was one of the first members of Congress to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. On Tuesday night, Lee wrote on social media, quote, opposing genocide is good politics and good policy. Hashtag ceasefire now. Her opponent had been backed by billionaire Republican megadonor Jeffrey Yass, who's an ally of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Summer Lee spoke to supporters last night in Pittsburgh.
Our movement is stronger than every GOP billionaire that exists. Our movement is stronger than any wedge issue, is stronger than any opportunist, is stronger than everybody who wants to say that the power of the people is not stronger than the people in power.
She won in Pennsylvania's primary. Secretary of State Tony Blinken is arriving in China today for 3 days of talks in Beijing. On Tuesday, China accused the United States of, quote, stoking confrontation, unquote, by deploying new powerful missile launchers in the Philippines as part of an ongoing military exercise involving nearly 17,000 U.S. and Filipino troops. In Argentina, hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets Tuesday to protest President Javier Milei's plan to cut spending on higher public. As many as 500,000 rallied in Buenos Aires alone in what may have been the largest day of action since Milei's election. Voting is continuing in India's massive nationwide elections. Opponents of Prime Minister Narendra Modi have accused him of using hate speech after he described Muslims in India as, quote, infiltrators. The opposition Congress Party has filed a complaint against Modi with election authorities. In labor news, the Federal Trade Commission has voted to ban most employers from using non-compete clauses to bar workers from taking jobs at rival companies. The FTC estimates the rule change could boost the earnings of workers by at least $400 billion over the next decade. Republican lawmakers in Tennessee have passed a bill to allow teachers to carry concealed guns on the grounds of public schools. Protesters inside the Tennessee House began chanting "Blood on your hands" after the Republican leadership cut off debate ahead of the vote. The U.S. Justice Department has agreed to pay nearly $139 million than 100 gymnasts who accuse the FBI of grossly mishandling sexual abuse claims against Larry Nassar, the former doctor for Team USA Gymnastics. The FBI's neglect led to Nassar abusing or assaulting over 100 young gymnasts. Between the time the FBI first heard of the accusations in 2015 until Nassar's arrest the following year. He's currently serving a 60-year sentence. And Mumia Abu-Jamal turns 70 today. The imprisoned journalist and former Black Panther has been jailed for over 42 years. Supporters of Mumia Abu-Jamal near Philadelphia City Hall today, where they plan to deliver petitions collected in France calling for his release. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
As many as 300 protesters were arrested in Brooklyn on Tuesday night, where thousands of mostly Jewish New Yorkers gathered for leader in the streets, stop arming Israel, they said. This on the second night of Passover. The demonstration was held at Grand Army Plaza, one block away from the majority leader, Chuck Schumer. It came just hours before the Senate overwhelmingly approved a $95 billion foreign aid package that includes some $14 billion in arms and security funding to Israel. A series of speakers addressed the rally, including journalist and author Naomi Klein, Palestinian activist Linda Sarsour, and several Jewish students suspended from university were still at Gaza Solidarity encampment. These are some of the voices of the demonstrators yesterday speaking at the Seder in the streets.
Tonight's Seder in the streets, which will be happening on the second night of Passover, which is a holiday we observe every year that is all about liberation and how our liberations are intertwined with one another, is coming just hours ahead of a likely Senate $14 billion in military funding and weapons to Israel. So we're here to tell Senator Schumer that this is enough and we need to end U.S. complicity in Israel's genocide against Palestinians. And at the core of the story is that we cannot be free until all people are free. And right now, what we're seeing is that the Israeli government and the United States are carrying out a genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, over 34,000 people killed in 6 months, in the name of Jewish safety, in the false name of Jewish freedom.
Of Senator Chuck Schumer. To the people in Palestine, we love you. We are with you. We are going to stop this U.S. funding so that you can for your own liberation.
If you do not move, you will be arrested.
Some of the voices at the Seder in the streets to stop arming Israel that was held at Grand Army Plaza on Tuesday of Passover. Those who addressed the crowd during the Seder was award-winning author and activist Naomi Klein. This is some of what she had to say.
My friends at Moses and his rage when he came down from the mount to find the Israelites worshiping a golden calf. The ecofeminist me has always been uneasy about this story. What kind of God is jealous of animals? What kind of God wants to hoard all the sacredness of the earth for himself? But there is, of course, a less literal way of understanding this story. It is a lesson about false idols, about the human tendency to worship vain and shiny, to look to the small and material rather than the large and transcendent. What I want to say to you, this revolutionary and historic Seder in the streets, is that too many of our people are worshiping a false idol once again. They are enraptured by it. They are drunk on it. They are profaned by it. And that false idol is called Zionism. It is a false idol that takes our most profound biblical stories of justice and emancipation from slavery, the story of Passover itself, and turns them into brutalist weapons of colonial land theft, roadmaps for ethnic cleansing and genocide. It is a false idol that has taken the transcendent idea of the promised land, a metaphor for human liberation, traveled across faiths to every corner of this globe, and dared to turn it into a deed of sale for a militarist ethnostate. Political Zionism's version of liberation is itself profane. From the start, it required the mass expulsion of Palestinians from their homes and ancestral lands. From the start, it has been at war with collective dreams of liberation. At a Seder, it is worth remembering that this includes the dreams of liberation and self-determination of the Egyptian people. This false idol of Zionism has long equated Israeli safety with Egyptian dictatorship and unfreedom and client state. From the start, it has produced an ugly kind of freedom that saw Palestinian children not as human beings, but as deific threats. Much as the Pharaoh in the book of Exodus feared the growing population of Israelites and thus ordered the death of their sons. And as we know, Moses was saved from that by being put in a basket and adopted by an Egyptian woman. Zionism has brought us to our present moment of cataclysm, and it is time that we say clearly, it has always been leading us here. It is a false idol that has led far too many of our own people down a deeply immoral path that now has them justifying the shredding of core commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, the commandments brought down from the mount. It is a false idol that equates Jewish freedom with cluster bombs that kill and maim Palestinian children. Zionism is a false idol that has betrayed every Jewish value, including the value that we place on questioning a practice embedded in the Seder itself with its four questions asked by the youngest child. It also betrays the love we have as a people for text and for education. Today, this false idol dares to justify the bombing of every single university in Gaza, destruction of countless schools, of archives, of printing presses, the killing of hundreds of academics, scholars, journalists, poets, essayists. This is what Palestinians call scholasticide, the killing of the infrastructure and the means of education. Meanwhile, in this city, the universities call the NYPD and barricade themselves against the grave threat posed by their own students, asking them, students embodying the spirit of the Seder, asking the most basic question, asking questions like, aim to believe in anything at all, least of all us, while you enable, invest in, and collaborate with this genocide.
That's right.
The false idol of Zionism has been allowed to grow unchecked for far too long. So tonight we say, it ends here. Our Judaism cannot be contained by an ethnostate, for our Judaism is international by its very nature. Our Judaism cannot be protected by the rampaging military of that ethnostate, for all that military does is sorrow and reap hatred, including hatred against us as Jews. Our Judaism is not threatened by people raising their voices in solidarity with Palestine across lines of race, ethnicity, physical ability, gender identity, and generations. Our Judaism is one of those voices and knows that in this chorus lies both our safety and our collective liberation. Yes. Judaism is the Passover, is the Judaism of the Passover Seder, the gathering in ceremony to share food and wine with loved ones and strangers alike. This ritual, light enough to carry on our backs, in need of nothing but one another. We don't need walls, we need no temple, no rabbi, and there is a room for everyone, including, especially, the smallest child. The Seder is portable, a diaspora technology, if ever there was one. It is made to hold our collective grieving, our contemplation, our questioning, our remembering, and our reviving and rekindling of the revolutionary spirit. So tonight, look around. This is our Judaism. As waters rock and forests burn and nothing is certain, we pray at the altar of solidarity and mutual aid, no matter the cost. Need or want the false idol of Zionism. We want freedom from the project that commits genocide in our name. We want freedom from the ideology that has no plan for peace except for deals with murderous theocratic petrostates next door while selling the technologies of assassinations to the world. We seek to liberate Judaism from an ethnostate that wants Jews to be perennially afraid, that wants our children afraid, that wants us to believe that the world is against us so that we go running to its fortress, or at least keep sending the weapons and the donations. That is the false idol. And it's not just Netanyahu. It's the world he made and the world that made him. It's Zionism.
That's right.
We, in these streets for months and months, we are the Exodus Zionism. Yes. So, to the Chuck Schumers of this world, we do not say, let our people go. We say, we have already gone, and your kids, they're with us now.
Award-winning journalist and author Naomi Klein, speaking at what was called the Seder in the Streets to Stop Arming Israel on Tuesday at Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn, a block from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's home. Special thanks to Hannah Elias, Eric Halverson, and Ishmael Darrow of Democracy Now! This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Months ago, a State Department panel urged the Biden administration to disqualify multiple Israeli military and police units from receiving U.S. aid over serious human rights abuses, including rape and torture. That's according to an article in ProPublica, which reports that Secretary of State Blinken received the recommendation in December, but has still not taken any action. We're joined now by Brett Murphy, reporter for ProPublica, where his latest pieces are Netanyahu resists U.S. plan to cut off aid to Israeli military unit, and Blinken is sitting on nations to sanction Israeli military units linked to killings or rapes. Brett, welcome back to Democracy Now! So this latest piece, lay out what is this State Department panel that made this recommendation, and talk about what Blinken has done since.
Yeah, it's a very special panel. It's unique to Israel. Other countries do not have this sort of consideration. And what it's supposed to do is review allegations of a gross human rights violation. That could be an extrajudicial killing. That could be a rape. And they look at public reports, and then they see if the Israeli government has held the individual perpetrators accountable. If they haven't, held them accountable, then they're supposed to make a recommendation. Make a recommendation to either stop giving aid to that specific unit or to continue allowing aid to go to that unit. This has never happened in the history of Israel. Almost every other country where we give foreign assistance to, they have units who are disqualified from that type of aid, but not Israel. Finally, this happened in December. For the first time ever, recommendations went up to Blinken to sanction specific units inside of the Israeli military. But for months now, he had not done anything with those recommendations.
And Brett, could you talk about one of those units, Netzah, Yehuda, the country's all-male, ultra-Orthodox?
There's been some reporting over the weekend that one of the units that went to Blinken was Netzah Yehuda. This is an Orthodox all-male battalion. It had been operating largely in the West Bank for years. It was founded around 1999, and for years it's been accused of human rights abuses, shooting civilians, beating civilians, so much so that a few years ago it was actually removed by the government of Israel from the West Bank and relocated to the Golan Heights.
And also, could you, those who are not familiar with the Leahy Amendment, the 1997 law that requires the United States to cut off financial aid to or military aid to units that are credibly accused of human rights violations?
Sure. So the Leahy law was developed specifically to address specific units inside of any foreign government. There are other laws on the books that are much broader, much more general, but they've never been implemented in a systematic way. So the Leahy law wanted to address that. Senator Leahy and others thought if the State Department could identify specific units inside of these governments and then disqualify them from receiving aid, then that would have, you know, more of a salutary effect than they had been seeing with previous laws. Like I was saying before, most other countries have to apply for a unit by unit basis. So they will first ask the State Department if they can use American financing for equipment, arms, training, that sort of thing. And then the State Department will review that unit, see if they're on the no-fly list, if they've been disqualified. But for Israel, Egypt, it's different. They receive so much aid, so much financing that the State Department has been largely blind to what specific units are using that aid. That's why they came up with this forum, this amendment in 2019. This forum was meant to kind of look back and address specifically which units should be disqualified, and then we would give that list over to the governments of Israel and Egypt.
And finally, just to be clear, Brett, we've heard in the last days that Biden is cutting aid to the ultra-Orthodox unit. Talk about, was there a meeting between Blinken and Benny Gantz? Is this aid being cut off?
So he's been asked, Secretary Blinken has been asked, as well as what's the status of those cases. And he has so far punted. And we know over the weekend, Prime Minister Netanyahu, they have been publicly and fiercely lobbying against any proposed sanctions. Benny Gantz said he called Blinken personally and they talked about it. They want him to reverse course.
Well, I want to be with us, Brett Murphy, reporter for ProPublica, where his latest pieces are Netanyahu resists U.S. plan to cut off aid to Israeli military unit, and Blinken sitting on